sometimes doing the right thing would actually lead to persecution. You see, the people that followed Jesus after his death were martyred for refusing to renounce the name of Jesus. And even today, many people in parts of the world, there are times when believing and following Jesus is unacceptable and even dangerous. Many risk imprisonment and punishment and death in order to follow. So right at the start of this sermon, when we are at this text, blessed are the persecuted, I want to just invite you to pray for those who are in that specific setting right now, who are finding themselves in physical persecution for following Jesus. Would you just stop for a moment of silent prayer? Amen. Even as we see that application of this scripture and we stop to remember and to pray for those who are in that situation, we too sitting here today with freedom of worship, freedom of belief, we still can understand much from this word that Jesus speaks to us today. Have you ever been treated poorly because you did the right thing? Have you ever been treated poorly because you did the right thing? You stood up for someone else who was not in the room. You followed your convictions. You were faithful to what God was telling you to do, and it didn't go well for you. This can be especially true in family systems where to tell the truth means to be pushed to the edge, to be mistreated, to be persecuted. Some of you here today have stories about how you expressed your convictions in the Sabbath and were mistreated, how you expressed your ethics at work, or you confronted a family member about their addiction and you were pushed to the side and ostracized, or different times when you did exactly what God was calling you to do and you ended up having everyone turn against you. Whatever the situation is that comes to your mind, Jesus is speaking to you today. And we turn there to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10, to the final beatitude where he says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Jesus says right here that anytime you are on the front lines, anytime you are on the edge of God's calling, anytime you are leaning into where he's calling you to do, it's going to have its travail. Life is going to be weary sometimes. Admitting this doesn't make it disappear, but we acknowledge that this is a shared experience among us, that God not only allows us to know that we're going through it together, but also gives us the resources and the perseverance and the support to make it through, especially in each other. Because Jesus shares this one in the present tense, the blessing is that theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is right now, in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of being treated poorly for doing what's right, God is right there. Just because you're encountering challenges does not mean you're on the wrong path. Just because you're encountering challenges does not mean you're on the wrong path. I've heard this so many times. I thought I was following exactly the will of God, and then I started to get pushback, and then it started to not go well, and then I took my first nursing test, and then I got my first evaluation, and I thought, what is going on? This is not what I thought. Maybe I'm on the wrong path. Maybe you started tithing and instead of a cheery testimony like you hear up here, financial blessings didn't come your way and you struggled more financially. Or maybe you made a commitment to Jesus and suddenly your family relationships had more tension than what you ever had before that point. Or you move and you change jobs or you put your kids in another school and instead of things getting easier, it gets harder. God, really? Did you lead me this way, you may be exactly in the center of the will of God and be facing trial, hardship, and persecution. You can be exactly where God's calling you and be facing challenge. Jesus never implies for his followers that the blessing of God means elimination of obstacles or pain or struggle, but rather the presence of God in the midst of them. That's why I find this so beautiful that he speaks in the present tense. This is not some future blessing. He says, right there, right when you find yourself facing struggle and trial, that's where I am, right in your midst. The kingdom of heaven is yours right now, right where you are, both now and in the day to come. He qualifies this persecution, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, because those who are persecuted for doing the right thing, those who are persecuted for justice, those who are persecuted for doing right, pursuing righteousness, there's a special blessing. I know we've all had our blessings of God in the midst of doing something and being persecuted for something that we brought on ourselves. Thankfully, God doesn't leave us in that moment. But he says when you're pursuing righteousness, when you're pursuing justice, when you're being treated poorly because you did what was right, there's a special blessing of God for you right in the midst of it. I was teaching Bible study this week. We started a new baptism study, and it was so fun with those who I was studying with. And we talked about choices. We talked about these small choices, and I was sharing each of these different things, and they stepped to the right or stepped to the left, depending on what decision that they would make. And it often boils down to these small decisions. You know, Fred Craddock, he was a preacher and teacher of preaching, and he talks about this idea of sacrificing ourselves for God, that we wish many times that we had that glorious moment of martyrdom, that glorious moment of persecution, of sacrifice, where we lay our life down. And he compares it to placing a $1,000 bill on the counter. And yes, they did exist prior, but not anymore. You're looking for them. You wish you had them. But he compares our desire to placing the $1,000 bill on the counter and saying, God, here's my life. I surrender myself to you. Take me completely. I'm yours. And he says that for most of us, the experience is quite different, that Jesus walks us down to the bank and we put that $1,000 on the counter and they exchange it for quarters. And we carry around those bags of quarters, and that our sacrifice is 50 cents here and 25 cents here, and listening to the neighbor boy instead of telling him to get lost, and going to the committee and giving a cup of cold water to someone in the summer, and visiting the nursing home and being present with someone and holding their hand. The sacrifice looks different for many of us. That we want that blaze of glory. We want that putting our life down and whatever comes, whatever I face. But Jesus actually whispers, I want you for the long haul. I want that gift that you bring to be poured out 50 cents here, 25 cents here as you live. Because it can be discouraging for us. We can think, oh, does it really matter? And God says, yes, that looking in someone's eye, that noticing them, that stopping, that matters. Keep doing it, my child. Keep doing it. Keep laying it down. It's in that sacrifice of moment by moment, in those screen snapshots of our life, moment by moment, that make a difference. The Christian life over the long haul. So Jesus says, blessed are you when you go through tough times, when you face trials, and when you persist in doing right. Blessed are you when it's hard to love and you keep on showing up and loving. Blessed are you when that child is rebelling against you and you believe in a different future for him or her. Blessed are you when you don't give up, but you keep on going. Those are the sacrifices that we are called to make. And those are the trials that we persist through. Jesus says, the hope that you have is that when you are being mistreated for doing right, when you are pursuing justice, when you are being faithful to righteousness, that the kingdom of God, that the presence of God is right there with you. When I opened up this time at the beginning of January, first Sabbath of January, we talked about how these words of the Sermon on the Mount are revolutionary and that they've lost their revolutionary sting for us. That if we join Jesus on the mountainside and hear this sermon spoken from his lips, that we have to work hard to get to the understanding that the first audience heard, because we hear it and we read it all and we quickly move past because the words are so familiar. But what we've been inviting you to do is slow down and hear the words differently. To be able to stop and to hear poor in spirit and the mourning and the hunger and thirsting for righteousness, to be able to hear those words in a different way. Philip Yancey shares a story that I think is incredibly helpful in us understanding this revolutionary way that Jesus shared this Sermon on the Mount. And he talks about the Orange Revolution in Ukraine in 2004. It's a little-known story about an unlikely hero of this revolution. Like other parts of the Soviet Union, Ukraine moved towards democracy at a very slow pace after the fall of the Soviet Empire. And if you think our elections get dirty with slinging words back and forth and tearing down the character, imagine what Ukrainian reformer Viktor Yushchenko went through when he dared to challenge the entrenched party and he nearly died from a mysterious case of dioxin poisoning, a contaminant in Agent Orange. Against all advice, he stayed in the race. And it showed on election day that he had a comfortable 10% lead as they were going in. But through outright fraud, the government managed to reverse those results. So that evening on the television, they reported, "Ladies and gentlemen, we announced the challenger, Viktor Yushchenko, has been decisively defeated." However, the government authorities had not taken into consideration one feature of Ukrainian television, is that there is always translation for the hearing impaired. So on the television screen in the bottom right-hand corner was the interpreter who was interpreting the broadcast that day. And as the interpreter responded and interpreted that day, she made a very brave choice. She was raised by deaf-mute parents, and she gave a message in sign language that was different from what they were saying. Exactly. She said, "I'm addressing all the deaf citizens of Ukraine. Don't believe what the authorities say. They are lying, and I am ashamed to translate these lies. Yushchenko is our president." And no one in the studio knew what was happening. She just stood there signing. And they didn't know what was going on. Deaf people, inspired by their translator Natalia, led the Orange Revolution. They text messaged friends on their mobile phones about the fraudulent elections, and soon other journalists decided to take their stand, and they refused to broadcast the lies that were coming out, that party line that they were all given to share. And over the next few weeks, as many as 1 million people flooded the streets of capital Kiev wearing orange. And the government finally buckled under the pressure, consenting to new elections. And Yushchenko emerged as the undisputed winner because of her courage, because of her bravery to stand up. This small screen of truth in the corner of the big screen is a good picture of what it's like for us as the church today. Because I picture that we feel as much powerlessness as she did because we don't control the big screen. There are destructive messages coming at us and our children all day long. Messages about beauty and power and money. Messages about wealth and influence. There are broken systems that we live with all the time. There's brokenness all around us. We live in this society that struggles, and our society is not unique. All throughout history, we have applauded and awarded winners and called others losers. But like Natalia, the sign language interpreter, Jesus comes along, and specifically in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Don't believe the big screen." He comes along, and this is what the original audience would have heard as they were gathered around on that mountainside, the crowds around Jesus. And he's like Natalia in that screen saying, you know, they say it's happening this way, but it's not. These are the people that look blessed right now, but this is really what's going on. This is really, when you enter fully into your pain, there is comfort on the other side. When you are blessed when you're poor in spirit, when you are able to see things from God's perspective and God is especially close to you. Blessed are you when you hunger and thirst and you're not satisfied with what's going on around you, when you want justice, when you want God, when you want relationships made right. You are blessed. And Jesus shares a different message than what we're hearing there. Just like at the beginning, I shared this storybook, this story that Josiah got three of for Christmas, and that you're invited to flip the story to be able to look and see the story from another perspective. And when you get to the middle, it says, wait, you thought you were finished, didn't you? It's time to take another look, close and flip the storybook. That's what Jesus is inviting them to do, to pay attention to the small screen or to flip the story to see things from another perspective. So he asks us, what's your pain? What's your mourning? What's your persecution? What's going on in your life right now? What's your hunger and thirst? How is it that God wants to give us another perspective on exactly what we're going through right now? Jesus gave them another way to view things. And so he said, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, who are helpless, and who surrender to God in the midst of their own powerlessness, for the reign of God to them is incredibly near. As we think about the poor in spirit, maybe that's what God is calling you to remember right now. Think about yourself. Where are you in this? The poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, who have the courage to fully enter their pain and to find comfort on the other side. Is that you today? Blessed are the meek, for meekness is not weakness, but surrendered and enduring trust in spite of undesirable circumstances. These are the ones who will inherit the earth. Is that you? Blessed are you who live in the tension of hunger and thirst for right relationship, for justice, for God, for they will be filled. Blessed are you who step into and live in the flow of mercy, giving and receiving generously. Blessed are you when you live a life of purity, a life that lines up with the outside and the inside, congruence in your life, for you will start to see God everywhere. Blessed are you when you embrace your identity as the reconciled, beloved child of God, and you live out your calling to be peace in the world. You will be recognized as God's children. And blessed are you today when you are treated poorly for doing right. God is with you. God is present both now and in the kingdom to come. What would it look like for you to live the kingdom of God life now? For you to pay more attention to the small screen than the big screen? Which one is for you? Today we want to invite you to take a token, a reminder of your blessedness. Because I'm hoping today that you realize that you are blessed, that you are happy, that you are favored of God. And in one of these areas, we have given you a token, a tangible blessing, a reminder of who you are in God. Maybe you have been mourning right now. Maybe you are called to a life of congruence, of pure in heart. Maybe you're called to peacemaking. Whatever it is, we have been blessed by so many who have, some of them, very long hours to hand make something that you can take as a tangible reminder of the blessing and the promise of God. So today, as we listen to this closing song, I invite you to come forward as an act of surrender and to take this blessing of God with you for whatever area you are called to.
Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom. And blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they will be filled. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
To leave these out too. So if you didn't come forward, but you feel like led to take one specifically for this token, this remembrance, this tangible presence of the blessing of God, we'll leave these here and you're welcome to come up at the end of the service. And someone just came up and shared something specifically that their loved one is going through, and they're taking them the blanket, the blessed are those who mourn. If there's someone that you feel led to do that to, you are welcome to as well. Would you stand with me as we pray right now? God, I just want to thank you so much for the words that you have spoken into our lives. Jesus, these words of your sermon have become more a part of us over these weeks. And we thank you so much that your word becomes real and lived out again today. We hold in our hands right now reminders of who we are, that we are blessed. That we have your hand on us, that the story that we many times believe and that is told to us, that there is a different message that you are speaking right now to us. So I pray in this space that we have been able to hear your voice, that we've been also able to hear your calling. Your calling us may have been to a life of integrity. It may be a life of entering that mourning fully. It may be a life of peacemaking. There are many here, and we know that your voice has been speaking in many different ways. So we hold these things in our hands, and I invite you to just hold them up right now to be able to say, God, I take this and I surrender myself. And right now, to whatever that is that you are being called to, may you walk from this place knowing that God is with you. Whatever circumstance you find yourself in right now, may you sense God's hand on you, and may you have the courage and strength and resources and support to be able to persist in that calling and to find God right there with you until we see God face to face. This is our prayer, O God. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.